Take your Bibles, if you would. We're in the book of Judges. We're back in chapter 13. We're going to start in verse 8 tonight. You remember a couple weeks ago, we just got started on the story of Samson. The children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord, and we've heard that phrase four or five times now as we've made our way through the book of Judges. And the Bible says there in the first few verses of chapter 13 that the Lord delivered them into the hands of the Philistines for 40 years. And as we talked about a couple weeks ago, that was the longest oppression that we've seen so far in the book of Judges. And then we met a man of the tribe of Dan. His name was Manoah. We met his wife. She's not named in the Bible, but she was barren, had no children. And in the first eight verses of chapter 13, an angel of the Lord appeared unto her. Now, neither she nor her husband, as we're going to read about tonight, knew at this point that this was an angel. And so this angel took the form of a man, as they did in many cases in the Bible, and weren't recognized by these two folks that he was an angel. But this angel was a messenger from God. And the message that he bore to this lady was that she was going to bear a son, and that son was going to be a Nazirite from the womb. No razor would come on his head. He could not drink wine or any strong drink. And he was going to deliver the Israelites from the hand of the Philistines. Now, again, I don't know how long they'd been under oppression at this point. I don't know how old Samson was when he, you know, came on the scene and started his deliverance. But it was sometime in that 40 years, okay? And so when the angel talked to Manoah's wife and told her that she was going to bear this son, he was going to be a Nazirite. Now he said, now listen, you need to stay away from wine and strong drink and eat no unclean thing while you're pregnant. And in fact, don't eat anything that comes from the vine because he needs to be a Nazirite from the time that he's conceived. And if there was no other scripture in the Bible that talked about life beginning at conception, this one would be all that we needed, because what happened in the womb happened to Samson. And that's why the messenger gave the message to his mother. And so when the messenger gave this news to Manoah's wife, she immediately ran and joyfully told her husband about this man that she'd seen, this messenger from God, and the message that he had given her. So we start tonight in verse 8. Then Manoah entreated the Lord and said, O my Lord, let the man of God which thou didst send come again unto us and teach us what we shall do unto the child that shall be born. And so Manoah goes to God. Now again, they think it's a man, and they didn't seek him out. I mean, they didn't go looking for him, but they went back to God because, they recognized him as a messenger from God. And so Manoah went and said, send him back. Would you just please send him back? Now, we're going to see why he wants the messenger to come back in just a minute. But in this verse 8, we see his faith, because he says, I want to make sure that we know what to do unto this child that is going to be born. There was no doubt in his mind that they were going to have a son, even though they were probably both old, even though his wife had been barren for a number of years. There was no doubt in his mind that what the angel said was going to happen. So there's a big difference between Manoah and Zechariah, who was the father of John the Baptist. You remember he was the priest that we read about in Luke chapter 1, who the angel Gabriel visited when he was offering incense in the tabernacle. And again, just contrast the two of them. Zechariah was a priest. I mean, he was actually in the tabernacle burning incense on the altar of incense. Manoah was not a priest. He was just a layman. The angel actually spoke to Zechariah. I mean, he didn't talk to Elizabeth, he talked to Zechariah. The angel did not talk to Manoah, he talked to Manoah's wife. And yet Zechariah said, how can this be? We're both old. How can we have a son? How can this be? And of course, you remember what the angel Gabriel told him. He said, well, hey, listen, I'm Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God. This is a message from God. How can you doubt him? You're not going to be able to talk until the child is born. And yet we see Manoah, who wasn't a priest, who got the message secondhand, who had enough faith to say, if God said it, I'm going to believe it. A message that came from God. And simple, childlike faith to believe what God says in this book is a wonderful, wonderful thing. I couldn't help think about what I was going to say when Dan was talking about his cousin. You know, sometimes we get so smart that we think we can explain God. And we think that, you know, we have to dissect and diagram and cut this book all to pieces. And we'd be so much better off if we just took the attitude, look, this is God's word. Whether I understand it completely or not, I'm just going to believe it. And that's what Manoah said. He said, this child is going to be born. And so he went to God and he said, please, God, let the messenger come back. Again, he didn't know it was an angel. He thought it was a man. And by the way, I'm thinking about this. I have a lot of things that just came into my mind as I was studying this. You know, once we hear from God, like these two did, it ought to give us an appetite to want to hear more. Now, I'll just tell you now, Manoah wanted to make sure that his wife didn't miss something. I'm sure he thought, man, she's excited. I mean, she's wanted a child, and now this messenger from God has come and told her she's going to have a child. She might have missed something in the instructions that the angel gave to her because of her joy, because of her excitement. And we want to make sure we do this right. And so he went to God and said, God, please let the messenger come back. But when we hear from God, and we know that we've heard from God, it ought to put in us an appetite to say, I want to hear from him again. I want him to come back. I want him to speak to me again. So again, he wanted the messenger to come back to make sure that they got all the instructions right. Now look at verse 9. And God hearkened to the voice of Manoah, and the angel of God came again unto the woman, as she said in the field, but Manoah, her husband, was not with her. And so God listened to Manoah's prayers. He sent a messenger back, but not to Manoah, but to his wife as she sat in the field alone. And I will tell you, I believe that God always answers the prayers of those that want to know him and are sincerely seeking his will as to what they should do. I believe that's what Manoah and Mrs. Manoah, his wife, were seeking. They wanted to make sure they got the instructions right. They wanted to make sure they did exactly what God told them to do with this child. I can't help but think of that story in Acts chapter 10 of Cornelius, who was a Gentile. Who wanted to know God, who wanted to know what God wanted him to do. And he prayed. And you remember, God sent an angel to Cornelius and said, send for Peter, and he will tell you what to do. And I believe that if we sincerely seek after God and say, I want to know him better, that God will answer that prayer. If we sincerely seek after God and say, God, I want to know your will. I want to know with beyond a doubt what you want me to do. That I believe that God will answer that prayer. It's over and over again in this book that truth is taught. So again, the angel came to Manoah's wife who was alone. And you know, sometimes we have to get by ourselves to hear from God. Sometimes it's when we are meditating alone that God comes and speaks to us. Verse 10, and the woman made haste and ran and showed her husband and said unto him, "Behold, the man hath appeared unto me that came unto me the other day." Now, in my Bible, the word "other" is italicized, which means that when the King James, the guys translated it, they added it just to make it the verse to make more sense in the English language. A lot of scholars think that it was actually the same day. And Manoah's wife was sitting in the same spot that she was when the angel came the first time. And so when he came back, she got excited. And she ran with haste to her husband. And she said, "Honey, he came back. The man that gave me the message earlier today, or if it was another day, yesterday or the day before, he's back. Come on, let's go see him." Now, again, she was excited about taking her husband back to meet the messenger of God. The same excitement, I think, that Andrew felt when he went to find his brother. "We found the Messiah. Come and see." The same excitement that Philip felt when he went to get Nathanael and said, "We found the Messiah." And remember what Nathanael said, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" But we ought to be excited when we have the opportunity to take people back to meet God. To meet God. Now notice, she didn't ask the messenger to go with her. She didn't say, "Hey, come with me, my husband wants to talk." She went running for her husband. When God chooses a place to meet with us, we need to come to him. We need to come to him. And again, I'm sure, even though it's not written there, I'm sure she said, "Hey, could you just wait here till I go get my husband? Could you please not leave? Just stay here. He's just right here around the corner. I'm gonna run. I'm going to get him. Just please stay here until I get back." And, of course, the angel was more than willing to stay because he came in answer to Manoah's prayer. Verse 11, "And Manoah arose and went after his wife and came to the man and said unto him, Art thou the man that spakest unto the woman? And he said, I am." So, Manoah, again, there are some men who might be a little upset and say, "God, why couldn't you come to me? Why did you have to come to my wife again? I mean, I'm the one that prayed. Why couldn't you come and talk to me?" But we see none of that in Manoah. I mean, there's no jealousy. There's no resentment. He truly wanted to hear from God. And so I think they ran back to the messenger. And again, we need to thank God when he gives us wives that help us get closer to him. Huh? We need to thank him when he gives us wives that help us get closer to him. Here was Manoah's wife. "Come with me, honey. He's back. Let's go talk to him." And so Manoah made sure, "Hey, are you the same guy that talked to my wife earlier?" He said, "Yes, I am." Look at verse 12. "And Manoah said, Now let thy words come to pass. How shall we order the child, and how shall we do unto him?" Again, when he says, "Now let thy words come to pass," it was a statement of faith and desire. Desire that says, "We want a son." Faith that says, "We believe your message, the message from God, that we're going to have one." How shall we order the child? In other words, how shall we raise him? We want to make sure. And again, I think Manoah asking the question was showing that it just wasn't going to be his wife's job to raise the child. He knew that he was going to be part of it. He knew he had to play a role in it. He says, "I want to understand, because you're giving us this gift. I want to make sure that we use it in the way that you intend for us to use it, and that we order it in the way that you want us to order it." And by the way, we have the same responsibility. When God gives us a gift, we need to make sure that we know what his intent is and how he wants us to use it, and then do our best to use it in that way, because one day we're going to be held accountable. Especially true when it comes to children. They are a gift from God. I think I mentioned it Sunday in the Sunday school lesson. They don't belong to us. They are on loan to us from God to love and to nurture. And we need to make sure that we seek God's will as we order those children and follow His will as we do that. Because one day, I believe, we will give an account to God, not for just how we've used this book, not for just how we've used this church, but how we've raised our children. All right, verses 13, 14. And the angel of the Lord said unto Manoah, of all that I said unto the woman, let her beware. She may not eat of anything that cometh of the vine, neither let her drink wine or strong drink, nor eat any unclean thing. All that I commanded her, let her observe. And so the instructions were repeated. Don't drink strong drink. Don't drink wine. Don't eat anything that comes from the vine. Don't eat anything unclean. What he was telling her is that you have to be a Nazirite, because as Samson is in your womb, what happens to you happens to him. And he's going to be a Nazirite from conception. Verse 15. And Manoah said unto the angel of the Lord, I pray thee, let us detain thee until we shall have made ready a kid for thee. Manoah's saying, hey, you've been kind to us. You've given us a wonderful message. And we're just overjoyed. We're so happy. Let's do something for you. Let's make you a meal. We'll prepare a kid for you and some bread. And the angel, verse 16, and the angel of the Lord said unto Manoah, though thou detain me, I will not eat of thy bread. And if thou wilt offer a burnt offering, thou must offer it unto the Lord. For Manoah knew not that he was an angel of the Lord. Same thing happened to Gideon. When the angel, captain of the Lord's army, came to Gideon and said, and gave him, called him into service, Gideon said, well, let me make you a meal. And the angel said, no, if you want to make a meal, I'm not going to eat it. We can offer it as an offering unto the Lord. Verse 17. Wait a minute. Oh, yeah, is that where we are? Verse 17. And Manoah said unto the angel of the Lord, what is thy name, that when thy sayings come to pass, we may do thee honor? Manoah asked, tell me your name, so that when this happens, and it's going to happen, I know it's going to happen, that we can honor you. In other words, we can tell other people, after our son is born, this man told us what was going to happen before it happened. If he tells you something, you need to listen to him. And the angel of the Lord said unto him, why askest thou thus after my name, seeing it is secret? You see, when Manoah asked the question, how shall we order the child? God answered that question, because Manoah needed an answer. But when he said, would you tell me your name? The angel said, no, I'm not. It's secret. You see, back in those days, there was idol worship. And I'm sure the angel thought, if I tell this guy my name, he might worship me. I don't want any worship from him. He needs to worship God. Verse 19, so Manoah took a kid with a meat offering, in other words, bread, and offered it upon a rock unto the Lord. And the angel did wondrously, and Manoah and his wife looked on. Did the same thing that Gideon did. Took the kid, took the bread. Gideon had broth, none mentioned here. Put it on a rock. And you remember, for Gideon, fire came up out of the rock and consumed the sacrifice. Now, it doesn't say what happened here. It just says that the angel of the Lord did wondrously. So I don't know if there were fire came up out of the rock or fire came down from heaven, but somewhere fire came from and consumed the sacrifice. God's way of saying, Brother Gerald?
Yeah, when he said honor him.
Yes. Oh, and yeah, you're right. That could have been what they intended. If you tell me your name, we'll name this son after you. Good point. But fire came, consumed the sacrifice, and it just said Manoah and his wife looked on. You know, I was thinking, sometimes we get so busy, we don't notice what God does. Sometimes he has to slap us up beside the head and say, hey, pay attention. I'm working. Now, again, if we saw fire come up out of a rock, we'd probably pay attention. But I would submit to you, God works in our life daily. And if we'd pay attention, we'd see more of him working than we do. For it came to pass, verse 20, when the flame went up toward heaven from off the altar, that the angel of the Lord ascended in the flame of the altar, and Manoah and his wife looked on it and fell on their faces to the ground. And so when the fire came, consumed the meat and the bread, and the smoke went toward heaven, the angel went with the smoke up into heaven, and Manoah and his wife looked at it, and all they could do was fall on their face. And there are some times when God works in our life where that's exactly the only thing that we can and should do, is fall on our face and worship him and say, what a mighty, mighty God you are. But the angel of the Lord did no more appear to Manoah and to his wife. Then Manoah knew that he was an angel of the Lord. He didn't appear because he was done. His job was done. His job was to deliver the message and give the instruction about how the child should be ordered. And when Manoah saw him rising up in the smoke of the sacrifice, he says, this is an angel of God. And notice what he says in the next verse. And Manoah said unto his wife, we shall surely die because we have seen God. This was the same thing that Gideon said. Same thing that Gideon said. I'm going to die because I've seen God. That's what they believed back then. They believed that if you saw God, you were going to die. So again, here was a man that said, I believe what God says. We're going to have a son. This message from God is going to happen. There's no doubt in my mind. And now, just a few minutes later, he says, we've seen God. We're going to die. And then his wife steps in. So in other words, his faith turned to fear. He had faith. We're going to have this child. But then fear set in. He said, we've seen God, we're going to die. Then notice what his wife says. But his wife said unto him, if the Lord were pleased to kill us, he would not have received a burnt offering and a meat offering at our hands. Neither would he have showed us all these things, nor would, as at this time, have told us such things as these. Manoah's wife said, listen, if God were going to kill us, he wouldn't have taken our offering. He wouldn't have let us see fire come up out of the rock and the angel ascend up to heaven. He wouldn't have given us this message that we're going to have this child. And when Manoah's faith turned to fear, his wife's faith was strong enough that said, honey, no, God's going to keep his word. God's going to keep his word. Now, what Manoah's wife did for him is what every spouse should do for each other. When sometimes our faith turns to fear, thank God if he's given you a spouse that reminds you that God's word is true and he's faithful. By the way, parents, this is what we need to do to our kids, for our kids. When sometimes their faith turns to fear, we need to remind them, hey, God's still God. He's got a purpose for what he's doing. I don't think Terry would mind if I share this. We were talking a little bit in the hospital, and she was just asking me, she says, you know, why do you think God lets things like this happen to people? And I said, Terry, I think God just loves you so much that he wants you to get closer to him than you are. She said, but preacher, I've tried to be. I said, I know you've tried to be close. You've tried to live your life for God. But just think, he wants you closer to him. So he's put this bump in the road so that you got to lean on him more. And I don't know if she agreed with me or not, but I said, you ought to just clap your hands and say, thank you, Jesus, for what's happened the last week, because, you know, he does want you closer. And sometimes when our faith turns to fear, thank God that we have a spouse that reminds us who God is. Thank God, if you're a child, that your parents sometimes reminded you of that. And by the way, sometimes we as children need to do the same thing to our parents. My mom's at the point where she's beginning to wonder why she's still here. And I tell her, I said, well, look, Ma, if God was ready for you, he'd take you to heaven. The fact that he still has you here means he still has a purpose for you. You know, and I kid her, I said, you know, Tim's my black sheep brother. I said, Tim still has some rough edges you need to work on, so you're probably here for him. She just laughed. But sometimes we as children need to do that for our parents, and then sometimes we as Christians need to do it for other Christians. We all hit bumps in the road. We all sometimes wonder why God allows certain things to happen in our life. He's got a plan. There's a purpose. And thank God he puts other people in our life to remind us of that, that he's God and he knows what he's doing. He's faithful and he loves us. And he's got a plan for everything that he allows into our life. Verse 24, and the woman bare a son, called his name Samson, and the child grew, and the Lord blessed him. You as a parent, can you want anything else for your children and for the Lord to bless them? And the Spirit of the Lord began to move him at times in the camp of Dan between Zorah and Eshtaol. Spirit of the Lord began to move him. Be not drunk with wine, where is an excess. Hey, you're a Nazarite. No wine, no strong drink, but be filled with the Spirit of God. That'll move you, and he was moving him in this area that the tribe of Dan had set up to sort of marshal their forces against the Philistines to try to keep them out of the land. And next week, we'll pick up the story of Samson and how God began to mold him and use him as that vessel of strength that he became. Thank you for being here tonight. Again, remember to pray for those that we've mentioned. Keep them up. Keep them in your prayers. Let's stand together and we'll have a word of dismissal.